Ezekiel chapter 2 and the verse 9, when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. The prophet Ezekiel is at the commencement of his ministry among the people of God. And at the commencement of his ministry, he has received this remarkable vision. It is a vision of the glory of the Lord. There is this powerful description of what in actual fact seems to be a chariot. It's a very complex chariot. It contains many mysteries, but it is a chariot. And upon this chariot is a glorious throne. Verse 26, above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Verse 28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. So there's a glory about this throne. And upon this throne there is the appearance of a man. You read that in verse 26 at the end. Upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And then this is further explained in verse 28. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So this man is also the glorious Jehovah. It is, of course, a theophany. That is, an appearance of Christ before the incarnation, before he actually took to himself true humanity. He has the appearance of humanity. It is a theophany. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming in a glorious throne. He is coming in this glorious vision. And he comes. And he comes to speak to his servant, to Ezekiel. In verse 1 of chapter 2, he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. This Lord comes in a glorious vision to the prophet. But he doesn't come alone. And he doesn't come empty-handed, because he has something in his hand. And we read about that in our text. When I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me. And lo, a roll of a book was therein. So the prophet is given the roll of a book, a written book, because it is written within and without. A book of print, a book of words, a book of divine words. From the outset, the man of God, the man of God who commences his ministry among Israel, is to be a man of the book. And when God comes to equip him, he comes not to give him nothing but a book. He puts in his hand a book, the roll of a book. And that's what this vision's all about. He just come to give him a book. That's what God gives to all his servants. They have nothing else. Do you remember whenever Joshua was commissioned to take over the role of Moses? The Lord appeared to Joshua and the Lord gave him a word in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book. This book. It's as if it was before him. It's as if the prophet had it already in his hand. And now the Lord comes to him and reminding him, he's a hard task, he's a mission ahead of him, but he says, this book, This is the book that you have, Joshua. This book will not depart out of your mouth. This book. Whenever the Lord Jesus commenced his ministry in a public fashion, there was given unto him the role of a book. It was a copy of the scriptures of Isaiah the prophet, but there was given to him a role of a book. Whenever the apostles were separated from their ascending Lord, as he was leaving them, or shortly before he was leaving them, he left them a book. He left them the scriptures. And one of the last things he was to do was to open up their understanding, that they might understand the book. He left them with the book. The book. The role of the book. We are in the same situation tonight, because the Lord has given to us a book. This book. We have the scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments. The role of the book is before us. We want to think then about the role of the book tonight. The book that the Lord has given to us and left us. I want you to know, first of all, that this book is the Savior's book and the Sovereign's book. It's a book from the Lord of glory. You will see the words there in chapter 2, verse 8. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. I give thee. And then in chapter 3, verse 3. Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. I give thee this book. This book comes from the throne of God. That's where it comes from. The throne of God. I believe it. This book comes from heaven. This book is a divine book. This book contains revelationary material from heaven itself. It is heavenly in origin. Forever thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. It's the word of God, and God is the God of heaven, and he gives us the book. I give thee. I give thee. And the Lord has traveled this remarkable mission in this remarkable throne simply to bring the book. To bring the book to the prophet. You will see there in verse 9 that an hand was sent unto me. The hand, of course, is the hand that gives something. It's the hand that presents the gift. And the Lord gives out his hand. There's in it a book. I give thee. You remember whenever Belshazzar saw the hand, he knew it was from heaven. He knew God had something for him. His knees knocked together at the thought. God gives us the book. These words in this roll are called God's words. You have that very often occurring in the phrase, my words. Verse 7, thou shalt speak my words. Lord, where will we find your words? Are they floating about in space? Do we have to stir them up in our mind? No, he says, they're in the book. Ezekiel, you don't have to worry yourself about where my words are. Here they are. They're in the book. The roll of the book. My words. These words, God says, are my words. Chapter 3, verse 4. Son of man, go. You've eaten the book. Go and get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words. My words unto thee, the words in the book. The book is the Savior's. All truth is from Christ. The Bible is called the Word of Christ. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, singing to yourselves in psalms. The psalms written hundreds of years before the incarnation are the words of Christ. Let them dwell in you richly by singing them. The whole book is the word of Christ. He is the one true prophet that gave us the words. Thy words, he said, and he prayed for us. My words, thy words, my Father, I've given unto them. They're heavenly words. They've received them. He gives us the Bible. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, and the sword of the Spirit is depicted in the book of the Revelation as coming out of the mouth of Christ. It's his book. It is his hand that brings it. He has given it to you tonight and to me. It is the sovereign Saviour's book, I give thee. Not only does he give the book, but he is himself the subject matter of the book. In the volume of that book, he said himself, it is written of me. They are they which testify of me, we read tonight. Moses wrote of me. The book is the Saviour's book because it is his word and because it is about himself. Not only is it a sovereign Saviour's book, it is a sent book. It is sent from heaven to earth. We have emphasized the word I give thee, but now we would emphasize the word thee. I give thee. I send it to thee. I present it to thee. A heavenly message for an earthly man. God has given you the Bible as much as he has given Ezekiel the roll of the book. He's given it to you. Do you know that? Have you got the conviction of that in your heart as you hold it in your hand? The conviction that God in his grace has given it to you? He has. I give thee. It is a book that has a commission then as well as authority. What utter folly to neglect it. What sad sin that it should be unread. What sadness that you should not have a love for the book that God has given to you. Does it lie neglected? Oh, don't neglect the Bible. God has given it to you. He can take it away. He can take away the means of reading it. He can take away the means of hearing it expounded if you neglect it. You wouldn't want God to take away your book. Hold on to it then. Love it. Read it. Cherish it. Hear it expounded. It's given to you. It's a sent book. I want you to notice, thirdly, it's a singular book. A solitary book. It's an only book. It is one book. The roll of a book. It stands alone in the hand of the Saviour. In his hand, I see only one book. Only one roll. The prophet is not brought into a library. The prophet is not given many books. He's just given one book. He's to be a man of one book. One book. Apostasy gives you many books. Apostasy brings you into a library and says, truth is in here somewhere. You have to search and find it and sift through this and sift through that. And hopefully at the end of that long process, somewhere along the line, you might have some truth. Oh, God doesn't give us such a book. A book that contains truth and error. A book mixed with truth and error. In that hand is truth itself. It is a true book. One book. Solitary, singular. It stands alone. Not like any other book of the earth. All other books are earthly in origin. However much they may use this book, they are earthly in their origin. But this book has come from the hand of inspiration. The divine hand. It is singular. There is a complete and frequent emphasis upon that in the text. You will see there, for example, in verse 10, he spread it before me. And it was written within and without. And there was written there in Lamentations and mourning and woe. Chapter 3, verse 1, 8. This roll, this solitary roll, this only roll, eat this alone and eat this only. Digest this. All other books are lawful to read, but all other books we are not commanded to read. All other books are not given authority for us to digest. We can digest them and benefit from them, but this one we are commanded to digest. This one we must eat. This one is our food. Eat this roll. Then it is emphatic. It is alone. Chapter 3, verse 2. I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. That solitary roll. Verse 3, he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. The Bible is singular and unique. Not a yod or tittle of this roll perishes. All this book is true. All this book shall be fulfilled. Of this book alone, Jesus says, search the scriptures. This book shall not depart out of thy mouth, Joshua is told. Meditate upon these things, the apostle says. These things only, the things contained in this book. He sends us no other. But not only is it a sent book, it's a spread book. It's a spread book. You'll see there in verse 10, he, that is the Lord Jesus, spread it before me. The Lord doesn't only send it and give it. The Lord doesn't only bring his book and drop it at your feet and leave you to open it yourself and try to fathom its meaning yourself. No, he does no such thing. The hand that brings it is the hand that opens it on to us. The hand that gives us it is also the hand that takes it and spreads it open. You see, the ancient books were rolls. And of course, they were unrolled or opened or spread. And this hand opens the book, because the prophet will not see the content therein unless that hand does open it. He'll not see the writing. He'll have no understanding or comprehension. How will he know it contains therein lamentations and mourning and woe unless that book has been opened to him to see inside? And so the Lord opens the book. The word is sometimes used to signify expounding and interpreting. He spread it. He spread it. The Bible is a closed book to every sinner until the Lord opens it. Do you know that? It's a closed book until the Lord opens it. Doesn't matter how much you read it. It's closed until the Lord opens it. The hand that gave it must needs be the hand that opens it. Having a Bible is not enough. It must be a spread Bible. It must be an open Bible. The types and the ceremonies of the Old Testament are a closed mystery until the hand of Jesus comes and opens it. The history of the Old Testament looks like random stories that have no link or any meaning until the hand of Christ comes and opens them. And then we see why the Holy Spirit has given us these historic stories and their relation to Christ. Oh, it is closed until Christ's hand opens it. The Jew has the scriptures. The Jew knows the Hebrew. The Jew knows the grammar. The Jew knows all the words. But the Jew has not had the book open to him. The hand of Christ has not come to the Jew. But it's come to you.
and has come to me. That gracious hand has opened the book. It is an open book. The Lion of the tribe of Judah alone can open it. He alone provides the key, and he alone is the key. He opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, we need that work. Let us pray for the Saviour's hand to open this book for us every week. Open it up, Lord, unto thy servants. Open it up. Send that hand to spread the book before us, to show unto your servants thy truth. It is a spread book. It is a saturated book, for it is written within and without. Literally, as it is in the Hebrew, in the face and in the back. Unusually, it is not only written at the front, it is also written in the back. It is weighed down with words. Every space is taken up with letters, because God has much to say. Written within and without, full of divine words, a full book, a saturated scripture. God has much to say to us sinners. All the idols of the nations are silent, but our God has plenty to say. He gives us a big book, a large book. An exceeding broad land is this book, a well of infinite deepness, a mine of endless buried treasures and jewels within. Yes, it would take many lifetimes of ministries to search through this book, and we would, at the end of many lifetimes of ministries, only have paddled in the meadows around this deep, penetrating mine of divine truth. It is an ocean of fullness. My words, many words. God has much to say to sinners. What a gracious God is he, that he should speak to us, that he should not bring us one or two little words or a few words. How gracious would that even be, that he should have to say to us but a few sentences? But he comes with paragraphs. He comes with chapters. He comes with a multiplicity of words. He condescends to speak and to speak and to speak again. It is a saturated book, because he is a God of grace. Not only is it a saturated book, it is a solemn book. Verse 10. It was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Its contents are described in a threefold manner, and there's an emphasis upon the nature of the book. Lamentation causes us to think of a lament of the mouth. O Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom. That's a lamentation. This book causes lamentation. God be merciful to me, the sinner. It causes lamentation. It's solemn. It causes mourning. That causes us to think of sighing and groaning and breathing, such as the sinner has when he makes a discovery of his sin and of hell and of judgment to come. There's the mourning, the blessed mourning that this book brings. For blessed is he that mourns as a result of having this book brought to his heart. Mourning and woe. Woe causes us to think of the physical actions, as that publican smote upon his breast. Woe be to me. God be merciful to me, the sinner. It is a solemn book. It is an awakening book. It is a frightening and a terrifying book. It is a book that needs this kind of response. A book that calls for this kind of response. A book that will not cause the sinner to come with a smile, as it were, to the Saviour. No, after coming to the Saviour, he has the smile. But in coming to the Saviour, he has the bitterness of mourning and lamentation and woe. The Bible ought to have that kind of response. Because it is about sin. It is about rebellion against God. It is about the strife between heaven and earth. It is about wrath to come. It is about divine judgment. It is about, as we saw this morning, that horrible tempest of divine wrath. It has a dreadful message for Israel, that hard-hearted, impudent people. A terrifying message. It is a solemn book. It is also to be a swallowed book. We read there that verse 1 of chapter 3, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat, lest you misunderstand what it is. This roll, eat it. Eat it. Not only must the book be spread and opened, but it must be devoured. Child of God, eat it. Jesus says to you, eat his word. Eat his word. Now, of course, it's only a vision. And you can do things in visions that you cannot physically do and literally do. Vision's a very realistic looking thing. It is as real as life itself. You'll remember whenever Peter was coming out of prison, he thought it was a vision. It was as real to him as that, but it was just unbelievable that prison doors would open, and, well, he thought it was a vision. It was real to the prophet in his experience, although he did not physically digest the book. We are to eat it and to swallow it. Yes, and it is to go into our mouth. I opened my mouth. He caused me to eat that roll. It's not enough in the mouth. Son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Let it drop down thy throat. Let it go down the esophagus. Let it go into the belly. Yes, let it permeate its way into the bowels. Let it go deep into your affections. The bowels are the seat of affections. The bowels are the seat of love. Our bowels yearn for our loved ones. Let the word of God sink down there. Let it be love. Let it give you affections. Let it be hid in the midst of you. Yes, that's the way to have the word in your heart. We have that in verse 10, chapter 3. Son of man, you've eaten it now. You've digested it. It's gone into your bowels. It's in the place where I want it to be. Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart. That's where God wants his word to be in us, child of God. He has given you this book, not for it to sit gathering dust, but to gather around it the enzymes of your stomach and your bowels, to be broken up and digested into your spiritual life, into your soul, and to turn into likeness to Jesus and affections in your heart. It is to be a swallowed book. And to those that receive it, it is a sweet book. Because we read there that then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Yes, so it was. To those who do open their mouth and receive the word, to those who will believe it, oh, to impudent Israel, it is an awful book. It is a dreadful book.
but to the child of God who opens his mouth to receive that book, it is sweet. It is sweet to our taste. The prophet said, Jeremiah, another prophet, thy words were found, and I did eat them. He also, no doubt, found those words, sweet words. The psalmist found this so. Psalm 119 and verse 103, where we were this morning, the 103rd verse of that psalm. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yeah, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh, there might not that be to everyone's, but to mine, sweet. There's nothing sweeter than honey, except one thing, God's word. It's sweeter. Honey is special in origin. It is unique in the formation of it. Ah, but there is nothing as the honey of God's word. Its formation is altogether unique. It's heavenly in origin. Sweet words. Psalm 19 and the verse 10, the Psalm of David. More to be desired are God's words than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter. There it is. If the word sweeter is not in the original in Psalm 119, it certainly is here. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Sweeter. God's word is sweet to the child of God. Oh, we have a sweet book. And why is it a sweet book? Because there's a sweet Saviour in it, that's why. A sweet Lord Jesus. A sweet friend who calls me an unworthy sinner to himself, who gives me exceeding sweet promises, who promises me a sweet salvation, a sweet washing, a sweet clothing in his righteousness, a sweet heaven to go to, and sweet communion with the saints to enjoy for all eternity. It's a sweet book. A sweet book indeed. Solomon said in his wisdom even before the findings of modern science, Solomon says to his son, my son, eat thou honey, because it is good. And yes, Solomon, science now has established that honey is good. It is beneficial, but it's not as beneficial as the word of God. It's good. It is honey, and mixed with oil, the oil of the Holy Ghost. It is a wonderful remedy. As honey mixed with oil soothes our sore throat, so this sweet word mixed with the blessings of God the Holy Ghost will soothe our sore hearts and heal our wounded spirits and lift up and energize us to serve and to follow the Lord. Honey gives energy. Honey is absorbed into the body even more quickly than sugar. It strengthens, it energizes, it is uplifting. And the word of God will make us strong as we digest it. The word of God will carry us through. The word of God will make us more than conquerors. The word of God will comfort us on a bed of sickness and on a bed of death. Because it is sweet to our taste. And when we are old and the taste buds are gone and we've lost the taste and savour of all things, we shall still have the savour of this book, this holy book, because we have the taste for God. It will make us shine. It's a sweet book. Experiment. And you will find it so. Taste it yourself. Devour it. And it is to be finally a spoken book. Ezekiel chapter 3
The Word of God is to go into us, but it is also to go out of us. That's all. That's all. Child of God, you don't want my wisdom or my philosophy. All you want is the words of God. And that's all I want to give you. In fact, that's all I have to give you. God's words. I can give you nothing more, and I want to give you nothing less. He said unto me, verse 4, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. Chapter 2, verse 7, Thou shalt speak my words unto them. Chapter 3, verse 10, Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. Because we're not only to eat the word and to read the word, we are to hear the word as well. God commands it. And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them what thus saith the Lord God. My words. My words you will eat. My words you will swallow. My words you will speak. You will say nothing else but my words. It is my words that will save the sinner. It is my words that will comfort the saint. It is my words that will destroy the devil. It is my words that will turn to flight the armies of the aliens. It's my words. And so don't you have anything else, son of man. And don't you be bringing your wisdom and your learning and your little contribution. My words. Thou shalt speak. Whether they will hear, whether they won't hear, that's of no concern to you. Your concern is to speak all my words. Let us do that, child of God. That's all we have. That's all we have. The role of the book.